Well, I got something different tonight. How many of you guys know it's April Fool's Day? So I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. That would be lying. I'm not going to do that. But a different type of message. Tonight, we're going to talk about, I was looking up fools in the Bible. And there's a lot to and I also looked this up. You know how many times April Fool's Day has occurred on a Wednesday or a Saturday, or I mean, excuse me, Sunday? It's not that often since the church started. You eliminate, like, when we weren't having Wednesday services. One year was Sunday. It was Easter. And, you know, one Sunday was, like, right in the middle of, or Wednesday was right in the middle of COVID. There's not only just a few times it's happened. This is one of the times it's happened. So, anyway, that's where this came from. I thought about this. But, anyway, this will be instructive. Before we get into it, the Old Testament word, I'm going to read this. This is from Vines. The Old Testament word, kesel or kesel, I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's a Hebrew word. It means, that's translated fool in many places. It's it means stupid fellow, dull person, fool. The word occurs in the Old Testament 70 times. All of its occurrences are in wisdom literature except three in the Psalms. This word, that person, is insolent. It's got two kind of emphasis. It's insolent in religion and stupid or dull in wise living. Living out religion he professes. So in Psalm 62 or 92:6, this is because the notes are in the Old King James, or the King James. It says the first emphasis is especially prominent. It says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. The psalmist is describing an enemy of God who knew God and his word, but seeing the wicked flourish and reason that they have the right lifestyle. In Psalm 92:7, they have knowledge of God, but do not properly evaluate or understand what they know. So that's one part of it. The second emphasis, which is stupid or dull in wise living, or living out a religion he professes, is especially prominent in wisdom context. How long, ye simple ones, this is in Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 1:22. In such context, the person so described rejects the claims and teachings of wisdom. However, in the Bible, wisdom is the practical outworking of one's religion. Therefore, even in these contexts, there is a clear connotation of insolence in religion. So insolence is the quality or state of being insolent. And insolent means rude or impolite, having or showing a lack of respect for other people. Like, for example, the clerk's insolent manner or attitude, or an insolent regard for the group. Often it means boldly disrespectful toward those in authority or of higher rank or status. For example, his worst behavior is being insolent and arrogant with the school counselor. And number two, of such scope as to give an effect of disdainful arrogance. So I'm going to go on a little bit here. The point is, I mean, we hear about fools, you know, April Fool's Day is, you know, people make jokes and talk about basically setting somebody up. But that word fool, I think in the Bible has a different connotation. It brings with it more than just a dumb person. It's not just, because if the title of the message is Don't Be Fooled. If we know what it is to be a fool, then we're going to look at some things a fool is, but also just some of the core, bringing this out, the core aspects of it. Fool is never a good thing. So if we know what it is, we can say, okay, well, that's what that is, because, I mean, there's so many scriptures. You know, you said just 70 in the Old Testament. We're not going to take time to go through all of them. But there's aspects of that behavior, and we can say, It's not to point fingers at anybody else, because it's not about somebody else. If we see any of that type of thing in our life, then we should say, I'm going to sidestep that, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. It's never good. But we're going to see there's aspects of it that are in society that people actually follow for different reasons. But they don't understand that the Bible clearly teaches against it, and that's not a right way to go. And so we need to, this is always for us to identify in our life and say, wait a minute, that's pulling on me. No, I'm not going to do that, because we want what God wants for us. And clearly there's many things, Old and New Testament, it talks about this. This is not a good result. But some common synonyms of insolence. So this is something bringing out that it's said in both of the ways this is used. It's somebody that's insolent in religion, you know, pushing back on God. But then when you are stupid or dull in wise living, that living out the religion he professes. In other words, you're not living it out. You're not doing it. But there's a reason. It's not just a stupid person. There's a reason why, and an aspect associated with that, that's really in Scripture, that's the reason why they're not living it out. So some common, and it's insolence, which some common synonyms of insolent are arrogant, disdainful, haughty, lordly, overbearing, proud. With all these words mean showing scorn for inferiors or people that they think are inferior. Insolent implies contemptuous haughtiness. Some synonyms are impudent, brazen, cocky, bold, defiant, cheeky, sassy, blunt, brash, brassy. So these are things that would indicate that are aspects, their insolence, and that is a characteristic of a biblical fool. Psalm 92, 5 and 6, was quoted up a little higher. It says, O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. So this is talking about, Lord, your works, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know that, and nor does a fool understand this. A fool does not understand that your works, that there's a God, and that your works are very great. So that's one aspect, right? The fool is like, what God? The fool is not necessarily dumb intellectually, could be actually brilliant, but is rejecting what is truly wise, which makes him a fool. So, but it's the insolence, it's the arrogance that's saying God, that doesn't recognize God. Yeah, so let's go, we're going to bring this out a little bit. Let's just start in Proverbs 12, verse 15. You see this over and over. When you see this and know that this is what the connotation of that is, you see it over and over. And like I said, we're not going to read every scripture. That would take a long time. But notice this thread throughout these scriptures. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. So verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So that's that insolence. So the way of a fool, he thinks it's the way to go. And in his own eyes, he's saying, what? I'm on the right track. But he who heeds counsel is wise. So you'll see this contrasted a number of times. The fool with that insolence is contrasted to the wise person that's humble, that listens. And the ultimate humility is to bow before God. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. but the lips of the wise will preserve them. So in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. In other words, as the fool speaks, there's pride there. Insolent, you're speaking insolently. You're speaking proudly, arrogantly, haughty, cocky. But with the wise, the lips of the wise, they'll preserve them. In other words, the way the wise speaks, it will be preserving. Proverbs 14, 16 says, a wise man fears and departs from evil. A fool rages and is self-confident. You see it again. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. A man of wicked intentions is hated. Go back to verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil. In other words, he sees something, you fear, you're reverent, you hear what God says, and you depart. But it says the fool rages and is self-confident. Do you see this in society anywhere where good is brought forth and people say, no, I'm going to do it my way. And they get louder. They get bolder. They say, no, I'm not going to change. I'm right. That's being foolish. That's in our society. So when we see that type of thing, we ought to check ourselves and go, wait. No, I'm not going that way because that's a path of destruction. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Talking about young people. A fool, so it's foolish to despise his father's or his mother's instruction. So that rebellion that's associated with teenagers, people say, that's just the teen being a teen. It's foolish. It's not smart. But what comes with it is, I know better. See, that's foolish. The young person hasn't been on the earth long. But they it's a tendency to think, we're going to see where that comes from, a tendency to think, but I know. And that's a foolish thing to do, to despise instruction. It says, but he who receives instruction is prudent. So no matter what the age, receiving instruction and listening, that's the opposite of being a fool. That is wise. That's humble. As we're going along, just think of what we see in society. What people say, you just do it your own way. Do it your own way. You do what you think. That's being a fool. See, people wouldn't say that. They would say, that's bold. Well, maybe bold, but insolent. I don't care. People that should know better. I mean, in society, I'm thinking of a person, that's very well known, that knew better. Very well known, but went a different path. Despised what their parents said. Somebody that's very well known entertainer. To this day. Insolent. I mean, just, you can see it. It's insolent. It's just like, whatever. Not going to end well for that person. You can see it coming miles and miles and miles away. And it affects society. It affects people. It affects, we'll get to that. It affects young people coming up because they say, that's the way I want to be. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of a fool does not do so. Doesn't disperse real knowledge. In 17:10 it says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows a fool. You can just rebuke a wise man, say something that's right, and they'll receive it. But the fool, you can beat them, and they still won't change. What? Because they're stubborn. Just say, no, I'm right. Why you beat me? That's ingrained in our society. Proverbs 17:16 says, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? In other words, a fool could get wisdom, could act on it, but he has no heart for it. In other words, he doesn't care. So he doesn't listen. even though it's there. He said, why does is the fool able to get it when they don't care about it? You know, that's so pervasive. You know, that's like the Bible, the Word of God is available to every person. I mean, there's very few language groups that, I mean, there are a number, I don't know what the number is, that don't have the Word of God translated in their language, but there are so many people that have it, but they despise it. They don't care. But it's there. You couldn't say they could go down at any point. They could get on any number of free websites and look at the Word of God or press into God, but they choose not to. And it's not just ignorance. It's willful disdain. Willfully, no, I don't want anything. Well, that is a foolish behavior. It is a, I don't need it. I don't have any desire for it. It's arrogance. It's pride. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Has no delight in understanding. In other words, doesn't care about actually knowing the truth, just wants to say what they say. Just wants to say what I think. Is that common? What's social media? Just people just putting out their own opinion. I'm not all of it, but a lot of it's just people out putting out what I think. And then all the comments on that about all the people saying what they think. And then the rebuttals to those comments saying, you're an idiot because this is what I think. And just back and forth. But not really understanding. You know, it's a foregone conclusion. People aren't getting on there to learn something. They're getting on there to tell everybody else where they're coming from, right? Very few people are having a civil discourse. They're just airing their own opinion. That's what it says. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. You could say commenting what he wants to, saying his beliefs. That's all foolish behavior. If we say, wait a minute, that's just being a fool. Just getting in there to begin with can be really foolish. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 11. This is where this comes from. Why it's so pervasive. Ezekiel 28, verse 11, this is talking about who we know as Satan, who was known as Lucifer. It says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sin. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, they that might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your inquiries, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, it devoured you, and as I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you, all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. This is talking about the origin of Satan, how he was with God and he was respected and he was had a very high place. But iniquity was found in him, and he actually rebelled against God. Isaiah 14:12 says, How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who are weak in the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So this is Satan saying, Lucifer saying, I'm gonna take God out. I will ascend to heaven. I'm gonna exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, there is that insolence, that pride, that complete disregard for truth. Insolent, disregarding what this Lucifer should know, and he would know. He's been around God for all this time, yet when he went down this path, he became a fool. Yeah. I mean, how foolish can you be to resist the Almighty? So this is the origin of this. That's the ultimate foolish endeavor. You were with God. You knew God. And you decided you're going to take out God. You're a fool. But why are you a fool? Because you have pride, because you're arrogant, because you're insolent, and it actually blinds. It makes it so that you can't see. You are a fool because your pride is completely distorting reality. That's when we read about a fool, we're seeing that something is making that person foolish. And the insolence is a thread that runs through it. The fool thinks that he or she knows. And the component of the fool, which we see over and over, is pride. The devil, like he said, I'm going to take out God. Pride is like that insolence is like a force field around you that makes it impossible for anyone on the outside to reach you. You know, like multiple sci-fi movies, like there's a force field. Nobody can get in. The only way you can't do it from the outside. It's impervious. The only way you can get through it is for it to be taken down from the inside. It's got to be changed from the inside, because on the outside, there's no way through. I mean, think about the devil. When he was Lucifer, he knew everything, yet when he decided he's going to take out God, there's nothing. God himself, God was there. And in the face of God, he decided to try to take out God. There's nothing that could change his mind, because it's like this force field around him that says, no, I'm right. And that's how the devil works. When you see this over and over, the fool, and we're going to read more, the fool, it's this thing. What makes the fool a fool? It's not his ability. It's not his resources. It's not his lack of ability. It's that attitude that somehow I know. And that cuts off the person, whether it's you, me, or anybody else, from moving forward. It makes us susceptible to destruction. And the only way to change that is from the inside. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool, see, this is where this comes from, Satan, in people. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. He says, there's no God. Wonder who gave him that idea. You just look around. You look around at creation. You look around at the sunrise and the sunset and little babies being born and somebody to have the thought, there's no God. But this all just happened. Where did that come from? It's making what that does is create this force field around the person that they think they know, and they're impervious to truth unless they change something. They have to change something. But what is it? Where's it coming from? It's coming from the one that was the ultimate fool. For all eternity, the one that had a place with the Almighty and threw it all away, decided that was a good idea. That is complete blindness. One of the beings that stood with Almighty God and decided, this is not worth it. I'm taking you out. So blind. You say, that is so dumb. It is dumb. It's called being a fool. The foolishness is, I know better, and it makes you completely stupid. And nobody can help you, not even God. He couldn't help Satan. It has to be on the inside. See, when you get like this, it is like a shield around you. Look at Proverbs, you know, this scripture. You just see there's no getting around this when you're dealing with somebody in the state. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Like, don't answer him according to what his stupidity and what he's messing with. Otherwise, you're a fool. But then the next scripture, verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. That means if you don't play the game, he thinks he's smarter than you. Look at it in the ERV. It says, there is no good way to answer fools when they say something stupid, like there's no God. If you answer them and if people start coming out of that way of they think they know better and not actually seeking, they get into this state. There is no good way to answer fools when they say something stupid. If you answer them, then you too will look like a fool. If you don't answer them, they will think they're smart. It's a force field. To the point that Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Look at verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, somebody's like that. Sometimes the best thing to do is just walk away. Why? Because if you answer them according to what they're saying, you're a fool. If you don't answer them, then they're going to get worse. It's just it's a blinder. So the only way to do it, the only way to get out of that is for the person to let that down from the inside, to humble themselves, to catch themselves. Proverbs 10, verse 8. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. In the Amplified, it says, the wise in heart are willing to learn, so they will accept and obey commands and instruction. But the babbling fool who is arrogant and thinks himself wise will come to ruin. Do you see the way the Bible over and over, it puts these against each other? It says, this is what a fool looks like. And over, you see that they won't. They think of them that they have more knowledge than they do. They won't listen. But the wise person is open and understands true knowledge, understands the way to operate wisely. The world doesn't do this. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is in Revelation. This is God speaking, Jesus, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and shine with him and he with me. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So you can hear the voices, but the pride, the insolence, the foolish behavior pushes it away. But you can hear some stuff, but it's like it's bouncing away. But if the person will heed and decide, I'm going to open, then they can get out of that mode. The door of the human heart can only be opened from the inside. You can't knock it down. You cannot bust your way into somebody's heart. And you can't force somebody to have this attitude and to say, I'm open. You can't open somebody from the outside by force. You can, people try, they try to bind somebody, put them up, and make them submit. You cannot do it. You can make them outwardly change their you know, behavior, get them to bow their knee or something, but on the inside, you can't change a human heart. God himself said, I knock. Yeah. He gave us a free will. And so who has control of that free will? We do. And that free will and how we operate determines if we go a foolish route or if we go a wise route or a foolish route. And the determining factor when you see the Bible is how your heart is open. But see, the world doesn't look at it this way. And so we got to be careful that we don't start acting like the world and get that into us because it's a way of destruction. Look at the this parable. Luke 12, verse 13, Jesus speaking. Luke 12, verse 13, it says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Look at what Jesus said here. This is not the main thing we're getting to, but look at what he said in context of everything else we've said. This person came to Jesus and says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. And I mean, he's saying, Jesus, you usurp, you tell him to do something. And what did Jesus say? Verse 14, he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? He said, it's not my role. In other words, you can't force somebody. But verse 15 said, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, there's a lot of applications to this, of course, about accumulating things, but I want you to see something else. Verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Notice, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? In other words, he had a bumper crop. What shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops, I had so many crops, I don't have room to store it. What should I do? He's rich and he's got a big crop. What am I going to do? Verse 18, so he said, I will do this. I know what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, bigger barns. There I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, you've got it made. You were rich, and now you got more stuff. And now you're going to make more places to put all your stuff, and you have so much stuff that you don't have to worry about stuff. So you might as well eat, drink, be merry, take your ease, relax. You've made it. You've arrived. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Verse 21 says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse 20 says, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who's going to take your stuff? In other words, you have seen wrong. You have not operated rightly in life. You're a fool. But notice, he was rich. He's not an idiot. He's not without ability. You don't get to where you have everything and too much to use, and you have so much resources that you can tear down the stuff you have and put up more stuff. You're not just a fool in the sense of you don't know up from down. This person is rich. They're doing well for themselves. They're competent. Yet they don't perceive rightly. And they think it's all about what they see here, and that's the goal. Get all the stuff you can and then just chill. And if you listen to a lot of the world, that's what they think the goal is. But notice, God said he was a fool. He was successful, but he was proud. He thought he knew. He's like, I've done it well for myself. You've done well. And so the only thing I think I can do is just tear everything down and build it up and just go on. But he didn't honor God. He didn't have the right mindset, which made somebody that was competent be a fool. It wasn't his ability that made him a fool. I mean, Jesus said about the woman that put in two mites, this woman's done more than all you people. See, it wasn't her resources. It wasn't her ability. It was her attitude and how she saw. And that's the way God sees it. It's not what we have, what we our competency. It's what how we see that can make you exceedingly wise, when to the world, they'll call you a fool. See, this is where it's flipped, and we have to watch it. People don't recognize foolish behavior. In fact, people in our day and age look up to it. They'll say, because the fool may be quote unquote successful in some way. And so people say, look at them. That's what I want to do. Look at, they must be smart. They have all this. So I honor them. I follow them, just like this guy. Well, he's doing well for himself. That's what I want to do. But God called this man a fool. So we don't want to be that. It's not about, well, this person knows so much, or this person has this ability, therefore they are somebody to be emulated. The Bible does not say that. The world actually will emulate that, but the Bible says the person that seeks God, that puts him first, is exceedingly wise, but the world will call that person a fool. So you actually have the case of wrong being called right and right being called wrong. And so as Christians, we have to realize, we have to discern that. Because the devil will try to tell you to follow something that is actually foolish and get you away from something that is actually wise. Which is what he does. He tries to get people to follow him. And to say, well, no, I'm gonna do this. Look at that person. I'm gonna go after this. And don't go after God. That's a foolish thing, because you know the world mocks things. So the solution, the antidote to being a fool, is humility. It's valuing what God values. If this man in the parable would have said, what am I doing? I could be helping people. I reverence God. I'm not going to be here forever. What am I doing? See, he would have changed from being a fool to being wise. Being humble means to value what God values, to do what God says to do. See, pride will bring us the wrong way, but the humility will bring us the right way. Look at a couple of verses. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. So if we're caught up in the wrong way, what the enemy would do, the foolish way, there's shame after that. But with the humble is wisdom. Humbling ourselves and listening is wise. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Isn't that what the guy was doing? He's like, I have so much, but he was a fool. He wasn't thinking clearly. James 4:6 then, it's actually just James 4:6, I think, put the wrong thing on there. It says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, the only way, any part that we see where it's like we start to see our own way, any part that we do our own way instead of valuing what God says, we're going down this path. It's not all or nothing. Matthew 23:11 says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. See, that's like the antidote. The fool, we read over and over, is wise in their own opinion, thinks what they're doing is right. The humble is not that way, is not wise in their own opinion. In other words, they put God first and say, God, whatever you want, whatever you value, that's what I value. Whatever you say to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that insulates, see, where the pride and the fool is caught up with that force field of pride, that insolence is what keeps them on a foolish path. With the wise, humility is what keeps you on the right path. That I'm not wise in my own opinion, that I do what God, that I reverence what God says, that I'll stay with what he says. I'll say, wait, I'm going to make sure I'm doing what you said. I'm reverencing what you said. That insulates me the same way the fool has a force field of pride that keeps them on the foolish path. The wise, that humility will keep us guarded from being pulled off and keep us on the wise path. In other words, we'll see stuff in the world, see things that are exalted in the world, see people that have ability in an area, but you don't discern in them the perception and the wise in heart and the humility. You see that they are caught up with other things. And if we discern that, we'll say, wait a minute, that's not something to be exalted. That's foolish behavior. Even if they're touted as one of the most brilliant people, even if they're one of the most powerful people, even if they're one of the most wealthy people, they can still be very, very foolish. And if we track that, we'll start acting like it because that's what we esteem, and we'll negate what we should be doing or what the God is saying or what we should be reverencing, because we'll say, yeah, but look at the ability. Look at the resources. They must be doing something right. They could be doing something right in a wrong way. But see, if we start tainting ourselves with that and start overriding what the Lord says, we start going down the path of a fool, even though the world would say, that's wise. So you have to discern. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, are riches, honor, and life. So that's the real path. By humility and reverence of the Lord, all these things that the world's seeking and maybe getting in a foolish way, you don't have to go the foolish way. You can say, I'm going to listen to the Lord, and all these things are on that path. See, the fool's way is a deception. Satan thought he was going to get power by taking out God. He had power. He was in the presence of the Almighty forever. I mean, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, they are powerful in the universe. And he decided, I don't want that. I want to be God. And started seeking something in a completely foolish way and became the lowest esteemed being, despised being in the universe. That's what foolishness does. That's what pride does. It actually boomerangs. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord or reverence the Lord. Depart from evil. That means if you hear something, you see it, depart from it. That's wrong. Depart. Get on the right track. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, the way of God, it's always right. It'll always nourish. And there's no side effects. There's no, when you go after the things that look good, but they got a, a wrong sense about them, they're going to be a side effect. But going after God and just saying, nope, okay, I see that. That looks good, except I can see the things that contradict the word. So I'm not going to follow after that. I'm going to stay on this path and believe God. I'm insulated from the side effects that mixture has. So we don't want to be a fool. We can identify over and over what the word says about a fool, and we say, no, no, thank you. I see that. That's got a little bit of fool in it. I'm going to step aside from that because I want to stay with God. I'm not a fool enough to go down the foolish path. And here's the thing with being a fool. The thing with it is it'll tout you. And that's what's so, it's so enticing about it. Satan thought he would be over. And that's what he does to people. You'll have something. And he tries to get them to go the same path. See, it's about you. And you'll have all this. And look at that person. You'll have what. And it, see, it prompts and it appeals to the flesh. And it gets people away. Versus humility to say, I don't care about me. I'm reverencing God. And see, that inoculates you against that foolish. And it keeps you, it actually brings you to the right path. It doesn't entice you. God doesn't puff you up and try to get you something that's going to harm you. The world does that all the time. They'll blow you up to get you over here so they can destroy you. That's what Satan does. Oh, he kills his best people. All these rock stars that they are rising and then you find them dead because they overdosed on something because Satan can't help himself. He uses people and they just get destroyed. God doesn't do that. He'll bring people up and it'll be good for them. It'll be health to all their flesh and it'll strength to them. And God will help as we follow him. Praise God.